And hello once again, live from I'm Bob Belongi.
I'm Brent Belongi.
And we are Analog Living in a Digital World, bringing you the goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos, and the tech news you can use. And this week, live from Las Vegas, from the CES. And let's just get right into it, because a lot of people have seen CES. This is the 50th anniversary of this big event. With us in the studio, very generously provided by the Consumer Technology Association, wonderful facility here, is Jim Berry. Jim, hi, how you doing?
Nice to be with you. Welcome to Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you've been doing this for 30 years with CES.
I have indeed. Well, this is the 50th year of CES. First one was in 1967 in New York. It's been in Las Vegas since 1978. And think of the new tech back in 67. We had 8-track tapes, we had cassette tapes, and we had color TV was still a new technology. And then my first CES here was 1979, which was the second one in Las Vegas. And the new technology then was the VCR, of course.
Selectivision.
And the home computer, which actually the Apple II, and there was Colecos and the Trash 80 and the just tons of computers. The IBM PC didn't come out until 81.
Right.
And then the deregulation of the telecommunications business, good old Ma Bell broken up, that really started, kicked off the whole telecommunications industry and product. So the things just grew from there.
We love the fact that this is also the 50th anniversary of Star Trek.
Yes.
And when you look at flip phones and smartphones and tablets.
And talking computers.
Talking computers, or being able, you know, and talking to computers and having a computer talk back to you.
Yeah.
Some of which was all inspired by Star Trek. And we got so used to seeing that that now is this reality. We're almost inured to it.
I know. I like to say that just about everything that you see in Star Trek in 1967 is actually available now. Almost everything. The transporting, the beaming, not quite yet.
And FTL, not quite yet.
I don't think I'm ready to go through a 3D printer quite yet.
No, and I don't want to be the first guy to be beamed somewhere. It's kind of like the first guy to eat a lobster.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, right?
It's like, well, if I die, I die, right?
I know.
Your bones might have it right.
Really hungry.
So, Jim, from that first CES, 117 exhibitors, 17,000, give or take, attendees. We have grown. I understand we're closing in on 200,000.
Well, no, we're going to be about 175 or so. Last year was 177, and we're really not looking to grow that. You know, a lot of people don't understand.
I hope
this, this is a business meeting. You know, the typical businessman or woman who comes here has 33 business meetings. Think of all the money you save, because a lot of people from all around the world.
That's
We've got the travel. More than 50,000 of the people who are here are from other countries, are international visitors to CES. But there will be records this year of over 3,800 exhibitors, over 2.6 million net square feet of exhibit space. That means we don't count the aisles. That's 45 football fields of space. You guys can understand that, having walked
that
a little bit of this.
So amazing.
I have a fitness app on my smartphone, and it told me yesterday I had set a new personal record for the number of steps walked in one day, 15,000 steps.
Does those 45 football fields, is that just here at the Las Vegas Convention Center, or does that include all of the space over at the Venetian and the Sands?
Yes,
and,
it includes
you know, all
the whole,
stuff,
yeah, all
the
of
whole
it.
Show.
Because you're right, we are not only at the Las Vegas Convention Center and the West Gate next door, the old Las Vegas Hilton, but also in, and you know, we expanded the Las Vegas Convention Center about 20 years ago to accommodate a lot of the growth then.
And about to do so again.
And we're about to do so, because these last 20 years has really been this digital revolution and all these new products. So that here we have the Internet of Things, the Internet of Everything, this and connected homes, connected cars. A couple of years ago, my old buddies and I, that had been coming to the show for a long time, said we came to CES and an auto show broke out. And we have here, we have a couple hundred thousand square feet of auto exhibits. This really is like a car show.
It is amazing.
And these aren't little exhibits. These are real car show exhibits. And remember, this is a couple of weeks before the big international auto show in Detroit. They're introducing cars here. Faraday showed a new one the other day that they expect, they've announced they'll have out next year, 2018. No price on it yet, but you folks that want to put one order down, you can put $5,000 down and order one of those.
For Tesla.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. One of the things that we've seen is there's already an office for CES 2018 space allocation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So do you guys have any statistics yet as to, I think this year they said it were over 350 new exhibitors?
Yeah.
First-time exhibitors?
Right.
Is it looking like there'll be, you know, a lot more next year as well?
There always are. Because this show, you know, people say, "What? Give me a word or two. What's this show about?" And I say, one thing is innovation. Mm-hmm. It's all about innovation.
The
other thing it's about is, whoa, what is that? Because that's one thing I tell new folks who are coming here. You want to wear sensible shoes and hydrate. You're in the desert. You got to focus.
So true.
Yeah, you have to focus because it is so big. You want to know what business it is that you want to get done. But then you also want to leave a little space for serendipity, to find something you weren't expecting.
That is absolutely the perfect description. Yeah. And so when you said you're not looking to grow it, I have to agree with that because the press of people is just amazing. You can hardly move in some of these booths. Yeah. I've discovered that today is the day to go line up and do the VR and the virtual reality things, all those little cool things they have out there on the floor because the lines are a lot shorter
today. It has lightened up. Yeah, it was really wild yesterday. But back to the new ones. You know, there's something like 30% of the companies exhibiting here weren't in business just a half a dozen years ago. And the real place that's kind of the soul of CES is a place called Eureka Park, which is over in the Sands. Eureka Park, we started in 2012 with 50 companies, and I say companies very loosely. In many cases, it was a couple of guys or guys and gals who were just with an idea for a better electronic mousetrap. They said, well, this is the place everybody is. We're going to go there. And they get a really good deal from CTA for a little booth space. They're not looking like Samsung and LG and Ford and these people are doing to work with all their existing dealers, maybe massage their dealer base. They're looking for venture capital. The Shark Tank people are here, that kind of stuff. So that Eureka Park is a great place that I'm eager to get over there. I haven't been over yet to get a walk through there because it's a place, like I said, that it's really what CES has always been about. It's about innovation. It's about new companies. And some of those companies, you know, a couple of years ago, there was a little company that had a new virtual reality headset. It was fewer than 20 people. They came to get noticed. The company was called Oculus Rift. They got noticed. Facebook bought them for $2 billion.
Isn't that
amazing? That's the dream of a lot of people who show up at Eureka Park.
It's sort of like a Hollywood story in a way. We started in Eureka Park on Thursday for the very reason that we discovered it too late in the game last time. Mm-hmm. So we said this time when we go, we're going to go there first because that's where we discovered you find exactly those innovative things, those what the heck is that, those serendipitous moments of I never thought about that.
Yeah.
And really like how things were organized. You know, you have sleep technology here and assistive technology here, health and wellness, wearables, whatever. It's well structured, so it was easy to get around and check that out. You have to go over there because you run into – a lot of times you run into the designer or the maker.
Yeah.
I scored some swag from a lady like that. She and her husband started in their kitchen table.
Yeah.
And it's sheep.
The sleep sheep.
And they took an innovation award, actually.
Yeah, that's what Eureka Park is all
about. Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, we love that over there.
Yeah, and then some of those become really big companies and have some of those huge displays elsewhere around.
It's just amazing. And we were remarking yesterday, we went to see, we ran across the GoPro booth and just how it looked today. Now compared to how it looked 4 years ago and all the different products that it's so that's why we like to come every 3-4 years is to see that change. One other thing I noticed on the floor, you were talking about the foreign participation, 50,000 plus from other countries. I saw major booths in the Las Vegas Convention Center here where the presentation was being done in a non-English language.
Yeah.
And I had not seen that before. It was obviously targeting a particular market.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they probably did English presentations as well.
Sure.
But that was different.
Yeah, this is truly the global stage for innovation and where people come. It started as a place just the retailers would come to see what they're going to put on their store shelves later in the year. You know, the original show was in June. Then there were two for a number of years, June and January, in Chicago, too. Then they said, Chicago, January, I think we're going to
I can understand that. It's been cool and windy.
It was almost snow down here in Vegas this morning.
Had little ice pellets melting off the car.
We've had snow here. I remember standing out in the snow doing an early morning interview about 10, 15 years ago. Yeah.
For our folks at home, the attendee roster is about 1.5 times the population of our urban area.
There you go.
Take every man, woman, child, duck, chicken, and cow, and dog and cat, and then you probably pretty much have the attendance.
Well, and for folks at home, in addition to your Facebook feed, if they want to see what's going on and your website and so forth, you can go to CES.tech is the show's website. And then, of course, all of the tech websites are covering the show, whether it's Engadget or Gizmodo or Digital Trends. There's plenty of them, and you can see what's going on here.
There's also a lot of lectures and presentations here, and CESBroll.com is where I understand all of those are published almost real time.
Right.
And so people can actually go in. We can't possibly get to all those lectures, but there were many that interested us, so we plan on going back and watching those to see what was said, and I think that's a marvelous thing as well.
Yeah, it's a huge conference session as well as a trade show and exhibits. And there's, you know, all the issues surrounding all this, you know, one of the overarching issues is privacy and security, cybersecurity. There is a whole track of sessions all about that. Because for most of us as individuals, privacy and security in the cyber world is about two things for us. One is our medical records and the other is our dough. So, and it's important. I always say when people say, well, what can you do even as an individual, use the security measures that come with your devices. You guys may not be surprised. A lot of people are surprised by how many people don't even use a password for their home Wi-Fi. Or if they do, they use password or 12345.
That's a frequent topic on Boomer Tech.
So use that at least as a start.
We cover that frequently on Boomer Tech.
Yeah. So Jim, a lot of not just showing off the stuff, but a lot of major players in the retail and wholesale industry, they ink their deals during this during this week.
A lot of business gets done. And, you know, a couple of interesting things. Some people, you walk the show floors, and you're absolutely right. The big crowds gather around some of the displays where now you can sit in a virtual reality chair and get transported somewhere else. But in the hotel suites, and I stay right next door, and up and down on the elevator, people are going from one to the next, inking deals. And also what's in the suites are some things that are even – we see some prototypes and some forward-looking stuff on the show floor, but a lot of the real stuff is in a hotel suite where who's ever coming up with that idea will be bringing in some influencers and say, what do you think of this? And some retailers say, do you think you'd be able to sell this? That kind of stuff. So – It really takes over the whole town and really is the place you have to be.
Jim, tell me how crowdfunding has changed the whole face of innovative and products that may never have seen the light of day except for enough people got behind them.
Oh, big time, big time. And you just look at Eureka Park. Look at all the places. Look at the press releases that those of us in the media get that lead off with, well, we've got an Indiegogo deal or we have whatever the different crowdfunding operation is. So it's made a big difference, and it's kind of this democratization that the internet has given to a lot of things. You know, it used to be if you had a little garage band, you had to cut a demo, you had to go get some guy that would actually take it to a producer. Now you can put it on YouTube or on the web, and if it's good, it's going to get noticed, and you can go from there.
I think that's tremendous. And so you see everything from the very beginner here to well-established corporations with mega, mega bucks.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of cool because you don't just get the big boys who can afford to come here. I think that's tremendous.
And multi-billion-dollar R&D departments. Yeah. And look where Apple Computer started.
Oh, exactly.
And look where Google started.
Right.
Yeah. We enjoy seeing some things that say, don't think that's going to go very far.
I know. Well, you know, by some counts, in the 50 years here, there have been 700,000 or more new products introduced. We know for a fact that all of them didn't get into the stores.
Right.
Some that did died after they got to the stores, and many of them that just never got off the ground. And we've seen plenty of those over the years. But the one thing that's happening is a lot of people made a lot of money and worked for companies in the first round. Let's say they worked for Facebook early on. They worked for Microsoft 25 years ago. And then they've retired, and some guys, still young guys or gals, And with technology, there's kind of a syndrome where you have something, you say, this is really cool. Then after a little while, you say, I wish it did this also. And then there's a lot of folks now with the resources to say, I think I'm going to make something that will do that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what we see a lot of.
Yeah, definitely. Almost a repurposing or a refinement or whatever. We've noticed that.
And it's everywhere. It's not, you know, this innovation.
Oh, everything.
Innovation knows no borders. And even around the United States, you say, well, you got Silicon Valley, you got Route 128 around Boston, you got Austin, you've got just about anywhere now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We cool. have made extensive use of our navigation stuff to find our way around, you know,
oh, yeah.
And rather than sit there tap, 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 I just said, okay, Google, take me to the Westgate Resort. Boom, did it. No finger tapping.
The nice little lady says, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic.
I'll mention one other thing that I think is really groundbreaking, here at this year's show. You mentioned, okay, Google. That and Alexa, the combination of voice recognition and artificial intelligence, that those two represent two of the most difficult things for computing to do because of the computing power required, that's just starting to take off.
Yep.
And we see that connecting here with smart home devices, with smart auto devices. So I think we're just scratching the surface there. And that's something in years to come we'll talk about. Oh, remember when that was really just starting to get going at CES?
We all want Jarvis for our house
at
a minimum.
It'd be nice.
It would be great.
All right. Well, Jim, anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I mentioned the CTA. CTA.tech is the association's website, which produces, it's a nonprofit organization which produces CES, and CES.tech, which is the show's website. Check it out.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, Jim, thank you very, very much. And we're going to, for those who are watching on the live stream, we're going to be shifting some chairs here. But we just want to, some of the buzzwords that are going on right now, Alexa and her sisters, you know, artificial intelligence,
Cortana, Siri,
and the big thing that we have talked about on Boomer Tech repeatedly is assistive technologies. How there are now systems going in that are aimed at blind people who they can actually wear a Google Glass and have. An agent sitting in an office, a combination of artificial intelligence and a live agent sitting there helping them out. And we're looking for a pen. Okay. All righty. So, Jim, if you can make room for Star there, that would be awesome. And it's interesting because we don't do video as a rule. So, If you are on Facebook, you can look up Bob Belongi. There's going to be a Boomer Tech page as well, and we're going to have Star sit down there in the hot seat. And we don't normally do it like this, but
and it's such a rich opportunity, such a rich environment to be able to
Alrighty.
To do these things. So, Star, if you want to put headphones on, you can.
You can kind of hear what's going on. And those of you watching the Facebook feed, we eventually will be doing more of this, but this was sort of an experiment because we're doing tech stuff. So, Star, we're going to hold you over the break. We wanted to get started with you because one of the big concerns and one of the things that was talked about, and your product here is going to kind of play into it, is the empowerment of the citizen journalist and how it is enabling people who previously could not get a voice out to do this show. Just a couple of years ago would have taken a truck full of things, and we'll have you hold that up for those who are watching on the on the video feed on Facebook. That's under Bob Belongi, B-E-L-O-N-G-I-E, if you're just tuning in. Lean in there, and Star, you're with?
Or hold it.
I work for a company called IK Multimedia.
Yeah,
okay, we're going to unclip that. Live radio,
a little bit of noise
folks.
Here. There you go. Yeah. Hold that up about there.
There
like
you
an ice
go.
Cream.
There you go.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
So... IK Multimedia, and tell me about IK Multimedia.
IK Multimedia is a computer music software and hardware company that caters to pro audio musicians, broadcasters, and anyone that's looking to make music production, video production, audio production, and have basically the best sounding technology in the world.
Yeah, because as Jim was saying just a short time ago, to even get a record on the air, you had to go to find a producer to do you a quality master to get something in front of the record companies, and you could spend a huge amount of money and not find your audience. Now we're seeing independent artists who are launching out of their living rooms and actually getting a big following.
Well, a national example of that is Lindsay Sterling, for instance. Although she does video as well as music, it's still the same kind of thing where you're able to be self-published, essentially.
Yes, that's correct. We have one of our first products that we put out many years ago, because IK's been in the business now in Pro Audio. This will be our 21st year. So one of the first products
we got some chops.
One of the first products that we released was called T-Rex, and it was a mastering suite. And essentially, you could master audio for video or audio for songs, for albums, and then do it all yourself. And it was between $300 and $600 at one point for that software. Well, we actually ported some of that technology over into the iOS platform last year, and it's called we modeled the Lurson mastering console, which is Gavin Lurson, who is a huge mastering guru. And now we've made it possible for you to master your songs right from your iPhone or your iPad and then digitally submit them.
Oh, you know, that is so amazing, and for up and coming artists, that is going to be a big game changer, because you no longer have to know somebody who knows somebody,
right,
who has a lot of bucks in their pocket to get some quality,
or rely on someone in the industry to identify you as having something that's worthy of, you know, let the listener decide. This is the great thing I love about being self-published for musicians and movie makers and things like that, is because how else do you get noticed? And that, if nothing else, that it allows them to put themselves out there.
Well, there's amazing companies like TuneCore and, you know, other different entities out there where before you had to go through a record label, and now you don't. You can be self-published, right? Go straight through TuneCore and then have all of your digital distribution go straight to the iTunes channel and other different channels for your product, for your songs to be sold.
How cool
is that? So
that's
a bit
that?
Like SoundCloud, right? TuneCore's ability. Because SoundCloud lets you publish your own music, don't
they? Yes, but they don't let you sell it from.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, how cool is that? And it's
so monetizing without having to go through the major
or
companies.
Or beyond The Voice.
You become your own record label.
That's
cut
awesome.
Out the middle guy. But I mean, sometimes you need record labels because you need,
of course,
the extra marketing dollar. Mm-hmm. But if you are most electronic music producers and DJs have completely skipped the need for a record label because they did all their own music production. They mastered it. They uploaded it through something like TuneCore. They got it on iTunes, and then they had podcasts, and then they just rolled with it.
Well, one of the things is the theme music for Boomer Tech Radio.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an independent producer in England who we just wrote him and said, hey, he was putting it out on the Podcast Music Network, and we said, hey, can we use it? And as a matter of fact, you'll be hearing that music from George Wood, which is being used by permission, very gratefully. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour, and we just want to, if you are just joining us on KCNR 1460 or on the live stream at KCNR1460.com, or you're tuned in to my Facebook page, Bob Belongi. You are listening to a special edition of Boomer Tech Radio live from beautiful Las Vegas. We'll be back with Star Ackerman and more about the IK Multimedia line of products. And we're back live from Las Vegas. It's Boomer Tech Radio, a special edition live from the CES Consumer Electronics Show, although they prefer that we don't actually call it Consumer Electronics Show.
And in this case, what's happening in Vegas is not staying in
Vegas.
Yeah,
absolutely. We are we are broadcasting out. We want to thank, of course, Bob Martin back at the studio, who is doing a bang-up job of keeping us on track, things like that. And a lot of people have come onto my personal Facebook page because we are doing a little live video from here. And in the studio with us right now, Star Ackerman, and your name is actually fairly memorable because I'm usually just terrible with names. Star, so just so you know, we were talking about the IK Multimedia line of products and how they have really enabled ordinary people to do professional grade work. And one of the things that strikes me is that, and this is not the hardware, it's the culture. We were talking about news from everybody, and while that's empowering, it also has kind of a dark side too, because you can think about somebody staging an incident on video or something like that. But for the people who are well behaved, there is now a line of products, or there's a line of products, and IK Multimedia has several of them to let people do some very amazing things with their smartphones. So start keeping in mind that this is both a radio and maybe a little bit of video audience. Let's talk a little bit about some of the items you brought for us to Brenda sees me drooling at this stuff, and she's already looking at my account.
That's nice. All right, so IK Multimedia, we dived into the CE market almost 7 years ago with an application called GrooveMaker so that you could make music on your iPhone. And some musicians right away embraced the technology, like Russ Landau. He made music on his iPhone with GrooveMaker. And he is the composer for Survivor. So he made some music cues for Survivor, and then he sent them via Wi-Fi from the plane to the production office.
Oh, my gosh.
So when you have things like that happening, if you're really embracing technology, there's a long way to go. So
and so much you can do.
Yeah, so much you can do.
And also the control that the artist has over the nuances, maybe. Now, you mentioned that you had been you are a musician and you've done production, so.
Yeah, my background is in radio. My first job was in radio back in Tampa. I did hip-hop radio. And then I went from there and got a recording degree and then started working in recording studios and then started being a spokesperson for the software that I was using in the recording studios, which is IK Multimedia software. And let's jump ahead forward into 2009, 2010. IK Multimedia released the first, one of the best applications for amplifiers and effects using guitar and bass on your Mac and PC called Amplitude.
Mm-hmm.
We ported that to iOS, and then we made a connector called the iRig, so you could plug your iPhone into your iPhone, and then access the sounds from Amplitude. Instead of having one amplifier, you had 20.
My goodness.
Nice.
That's
nice.
Amazing. That's so
with effects and stomp boxes and all that,
right,
all
exactly.
in the software.
So you can have a band in a box, or at least part of a band in a box, which helps the independent artists do more with less.
Right. And so, Steve Jobs was actually a huge fan of Amplitude. So when he introduced the iPad in his keynote speech to the world, Amplitude was on his iPad.
Oh, that's so cool.
Very good.
So,
you guys have been at this for a while and very innovative, cutting edge, leading edge type
stuff.
Yeah,
the CEO and the CTO of our companies, are musicians at heart. The CEO, Enrico Iotti, he was a music producer and a guitarist, and our CTO, Davide Barbi, is a bassist. And so all of these, software things are just pure passion projects. But they just kept finding the space that that was unavailable. So, for example, we were the first company to ever make a microphone that you could plug into your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And that was called the iRig mic.
Mm-hmm.
So then
I actually remember that, and I think it turned up in broadcast supply catalogs and things.
Oh, it was widely adopted by tons of broadcasters, and we started moving into the CE market very rapidly. It was sold in Best Buy, it was sold in Walmart, you name it.
CE being, of course, consumer electronics.
Yes.
Yeah. For our listeners.
Sorry about that.
That's no worries.
Okay.
That's what we're here for.
Years ago, I was trying to connect a mic, just a regular stick mic, to my phone, and that required about a $50 cable from a broadcast supplier, and then somebody stole the cable and that was no fun. But anyway, now we have this line of products. And for those of you who are on the video feed, just follow Bob Belongi on Facebook. Let's talk about, and we'll describe it as best we can for the audio-only audience. We have the iRig Mic HD. And tell me a bit about that. It looks like a condenser mic from here.
Yes. The original iRig mic was also a condenser electret microphone, but it was an audio. You know, it didn't have the digital component, and it wasn't a higher quality. The iRig Mic HD is a digital microphone and supports a higher quality recording in and out. So this is also available for Android, and that's called the iRig Mic HDA.
Mm-hmm.
And these are very high-quality condenser electric microphones and have very sensitive recording capability. So in the trade show atmosphere, usually about 40 to 50% of the broadcasters and the editorial that come to visit me are already using one of these microphones.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as a matter of fact, right now the video feed on Facebook is just picking up off the room mics, but I could, with one of these products, take the feed from my mixer and run that into and get a much better quality of sound, because right now the sound on the video feed is a little bit boomy because it's just the built-in iPad microphones. So
the audio from our headset isn't making it in there.
Correct. Yeah. So it's just picking up ambient room audio, and we will attend to that in a future. But
hey, you could plug it in right now.
As a matter of fact,
he may
we could
that.
Have talked about it a little bit ago. But So the iRig Mic HD, it retails for $129.
That's very reasonable for a high-quality condenser.
That's extremely reasonable.
Yeah. And then let's say you are a student or a YouTuber or, you know, an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
and you would like to do interviews, live interviews,
yeah.
or walk around the show floor and do
yeah.
interviews, but you are not used to handling a microphone and, you know, using it and
yeah,
going back
yeah,
and forth
yeah,
between
yeah.
the people. Sometimes it's very unnatural to have an interview like that because people see a microphone and then they automatically get camera shy
yeah.
or they get radio shy. And but the iRig Mic Lav is a lavalier mic system, and it comes in a single pack or a two pack. And when you have it, it connects directly to your iOS or to your Android mobile phone or tablet, and also into your Mac or PC. And then you can daisy chain the two microphones, and then clip them each to your lapels, and so you can have an interview with someone.
So, yeah, you can have multiple inputs. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that we've noticed, we have all kinds of cameras, including a couple of Canon cameras with lenses that are like a foot long, which you need for very high-quality video. But people get intimidated by those when you point that big glass eye at them. But people react a lot differently when they're around a smartphone, because
yeah.
they're so ubiquitous. But we are seeing a lot of journalism taking place using smartphones. We do that ourselves. But the downside of that is your average smartphone microphone is meant for talking half an inch away. And if you're trying to pick up an interview situation, the sound quality suffers, as people who are watching the Facebook feed notice that they're picking up the whole room and probably much of the outside. I've seen a product here that for a much better quality of sound when you're doing a walkabout video, tell me about the iClip AV.
Well, before we move on to the iClip AV, I just wanted to see how affordable the iRig Mic Labs are.
Oh, okay, yeah, there we go, yeah.
You know, for the student or for even the entrepreneur or the local broadcaster, the iRig Mic Lav 1-pack is $49, and then the iRig Mic Lav 2-pack is $79. So, of course, you're going to want to go for the 2-pack.
Yeah.
You're going to want to use them to do interviews.
That is extremely
value.
Affordable for doing interview type stuff without, trust me, having hauled around some very large, very bulky things in my radio past and suffered for it. That's really nice. So the AV for people who want to put together their YouTube channel, because here's the thing. People will accept mediocre video. As long as it's good sound, they will put up with a little bit of a dark picture, a little bit of a grainy picture, but let the sound suck and you lose your audience.
Hey, if you're a baby boomer, remember, you know, you'd watch the snowy fuzzy picture on there so long as you could hear what they were doing.
As long as you could hear what's going on. And that's just human psychology, because your mind can paint the picture if you've got the good sound. So tell me about the iClip.
Well, iClip is also a brand. The very first iClip was so that you could stabilize and connect your iPhone or your iPad or your tablet, pray you will, to a microphone stand so that you would not have to drop it while you were playing guitar. And, you know, iPads are very expensive, so, you know, it seemed like a huge need. Now, the iClip, there are tons of different iClips, but this one is called the iClip AV. Mm-hmm. And it essentially is the very first smartphone broadcast mount for your Android phone or for your iPhone or for your smaller,
right,
smaller phablet, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. Right. The notes that burned up.
Yeah.
We won't mention those.
For those of you who are in the industry, though, you know that if you want a really good microphone connection, you have an XLR, what's called an XLR cable, which is a connector that's about the size of your thumb with three little pins in it. That is the professional connector, not that little dinky three-pin headphone connector that will snap off at a heartbeat if you mistreat it.
About eighth of an inch.
So this actually adapts a professional microphone to that small connector.
That is so,
yes,
cool.
Yes, and
no
it
stress
also
it
has a preamp inside for phantom power. So if,
ooh,
you are using a condenser microphone with the XLR input, or if you are using a wireless setup, which I believe this product works best with,
mm-hmm,
like a
that's
Sennheiser,
nice,
wireless mic receiver setup, then you really have a one-woman or one-man show. It, mm-hmm, is a complete stabilizer, the iClip AV, and it also has a thread at the bottom so you can connect a tripod to it as well.
Oh, well, that's smart.
But, you know, the best part about it is that your high-quality HD video coming from your cell phone,
mm-hmm,
is now going to have perfectly synced audio.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you
big
won't have to worry about video editing and time code and... You can ditch the two backpacks and your other sound guy that you have to pay. And, you know, because people lug around these huge cameras when in reality, there's 4K cameras on an iPhone 7.
So, yeah. Rachel Hatch, this is for you. We're huge supporters of the maker movement. And we recently had a mini maker fair in Reading, and the young people that showed up was just astonishing. It was fabulous. And so this is a great way to introduce a young person into being able to use essentially pro-sounding, pro-level gear at a very affordable price to get those pro results.
Yes. This product pretty much does it all. All you have to do is add your phone or add your mic. And, you know, if you'd like to add a tripod as well or a stabilization, but it'll stabilize right onto a desk. Or you can hold it with your hand and go at it.
You have a lot more control over that with, mm-hmm, that pistol grip,
yes,
than you do waving the phone around, because that makes me nuts.
But Mom and Dad, we will warn you that a Sennheiser a wireless lav mic is not cheap.
No, the Sennheiser setup is about $600. Which leads me to the question, what is somebody expecting to pay for this iClip AV?
The iClip AV actually retails for $179. You could probably
That's
get it
very affordable.
At a street price for $150, depending on where you get it.
That's really reasonable considering what you're getting.
You know, when you're talking pro gear for a setup, less than $1,000, including the microphone with this, that's so doable.
Yeah, it is.
It's very doable.
You look happy. I'm looking at you, Brenda. You're looking really happy right now.
We are.
I don't know. We have fun doing this.
We do enjoy this, which leads me to, and we love the products, but we're also interested in the people who come to see. How many CESs is this for you?
This is going to be my sixth year.
It is. So you've seen some of the evolution over we come about every second or third year, about every third or fourth year, actually.
Yeah.
But just in the last 3 years, look at what has happened. Do you get a chance to get out on the floor at all and mill about and look at stuff?
I've had a ton of chances to be out on the floor this year, because I have been doing so many different interviews on the citizen journalism, just mm-hmm, like you guys, mm-hmm, bit on the interview when I sent out the email saying, hey, citizen journalism for under $200.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. What's your impressions about the show overall this time out?
I think it's cool. There's a lot of drones.
Yeah?
Which is better than a lot of, what was it last year? They were everywhere. Those
Oh, hoverboards?
The hoverboards, yeah. And there was a, right next to our booth last year, there was a, another, there was a hoverboard booth.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kept, you know, we just kept watching people eat it. And we were having a ton of fun. And then,
but did you do some citizen journalism on that?
No, we didn't, I didn't do that because I thought it would be mean. But, and I'm not, you know, I'm not, I'm a prankster, but I'm not.
Oh, you could have had a YouTube viral hit right there.
Oh, I mean, over and over and over. Just watch people do it. But, you know, sometimes, like, at the end of the show, we have a ton of cool products for musicians and for mm-hmm. broadcasters. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the show, people who have been roaming the halls will come over and say, hey, can we purchase something from you? And we typically say, no, you can. We don't sell from the show floor.
Yeah.
And but we'll trade with you.
Yeah.
There you
and
go.
And the dudes from the next door who had the hoverboards would not trade with us.
Oh, dude.
And it well, was the, so weird.
The we dogs.
Like, I was like, dude, but people are biting it on the floor. Like, don't you want to get rid of these? You still like 200 boxes.
You know, actually, that's a blessing because the thing would have burst into flames in the corner of your house or something.
Not necessarily, but there was some potential for that.
You know, I've adopted hoverboarding as a verb for any battery pack that goes horribly wrong. But we, you know, even with the advent of AI, of digital assistants and things like that, there is still that human touch and human contact. And we hear a lot about how more connected has made us disconnected. But we at the same time are in a space where we can reach out more and more. Now, a good friend of ours, actually came to international fame as the Winnebago man, Jack Rebney. His world is now audio because he went blind some years ago. But I'm actually thinking already my wheels are turning at some of these things because Jack is still an active journalist, but a lot of the technology is too tough for him.
Well, he can't even see it.
Right.
Touchscreens don't
work for him. He's down to using a analog microcassette. We're trying to come up with a solution so he can record himself in real time and hear it back.
So, Star, in the few minutes that we have left, can you kind of give us any hints of where IK Multimedia is going with products? What's next? I mean, there's always things in the works, right?
Well, I can tell you about the products that we have recently released because we have had 6 releases in the last couple of months, and we will continue to release likely 2 products per month as the year rolls out. So that's a lot of products.
That is.
Yeah.
But we have a ton of really cool stuff coming out that will be announced at NAMM. So unfortunately I can't give you that information
no
now.
No worries.
Yeah.
Teasers are great.
But I can say guitar products.
There you go.
Very good.
I can say keyboard products.
You hear Nat Karch? Pat Karch is watching the Facebook feed.
Well, and that's great for the Reading School of the Arts.
Yeah.
Our recent releases were Moto Bass, which is a virtual instrument plugin and standalone product. And Moto Bass was modeled after 12 physical basses. And there are a ton of tweaks. And as I told you previously, our CTO, David Abarbia, is a bass player.
Right.
So you can kind of get the idea of how...
Well, he would be picky about the quality.
As the Italians... IK Multimedia is from Modena, Italy.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if you know anything about Modena, Italy, but that is a very huge craftsmanship city. So that's where Lamborghini, Ferrari... Maserati. So the people from, you know, IK Multimedia also reside there. So everything that we've ever made has a lot of craftsmanship, looks stunning in graphics, and has amazing looking packaging.
Excellent.
Creativity
excellent.
Plus.
Yes. And the creative process is what you're always talking about.
I'm always fascinated,
Brenda,
with the creative process.
It's a fascinating thing.
It is.
Because it's one thing, you can have a great product, but if it isn't presented in a way that the consumer immediately knows what they're getting, what they're looking for, Those are actual birds flying past the...
Yes, there are two live pigeons out the window of the studio.
We saw something. We thought maybe somebody...
But they're tech pigeons.
Yeah.
they're interested in technology.
Yeah.
So
most of the pigeons I've ever met, I don't think we're too worried about that. They supposedly have built-in GPS, some of the members of the family, right?
Well, that's cool. Yeah, that's actually really cool.
You know,
hey, go fly over Dad.
Yeah, well, it doesn't quite work that way.
For anybody who, pigeons, in the 5 minutes we have before the
carrier pigeon.
Yeah, that too.
In the 5 minutes, 4 minutes now before the top of the hour, we would like to, if somebody is on the KCNR website, you can type in a question real quick for Star about the IK Multimedia products. Otherwise, we will have good okay, where can people pick this stuff up? I assume you're carried on Amazon?
Yes, we are, but... You know, to learn more about our company and to learn more about the tons of different software and hardware that IK Multimedia carries, please visit our website, ikmultimedia.com. If you are a music producer, enthusiast, fan, broadcaster, you're going to feel like you just hit the Toys R Us.
I already am.
The candy store.
Yes. And then you can go to your local guitar center if you needed to get it now, because that's how musicians feel. We want things now.
Yeah.
We don't want to order it and wait.
Instant gratification. Yeah.
Software can be downloaded usually pretty quick.
Yeah.
But another release that we just did was called Fender Collection 2 for Amplitude, which is for Mac and PC, which is also will also be ported to the iOS platform. There was already an Amplitude Fender iOS app, so that you could play with the tones of Fender. So that's a pretty huge release for us as well, because there are a ton of Fender fans out there that love Fender amps and effects.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So, now with sophisticated software, we can model how a lot of that stuff works and just insert it as a plug-in into your editor of choice, editor of choice.
IK Multimedia's niche in the market has always been taking the best hardware gear and turning it into software. That's why we have brand names like Fender and Marshall and Orange and you name it, music gear.
What I love about this is that it brings pro quality to low budget. You know, students, aspiring musicians, and that sort of thing. And I get so frustrated sometimes with the equipment we list. Well, it's prosumer, right? It's high end consumer, but it's not quite pro grade. I told Bob I'm done investing in prosumer for the most part. It's
well,
gotta be pro grade.
Well, that's just not true anymore. When you have, for example. If it was $400, $500 software for Amplitude on Mac and PC, and then we ported it to iOS, and it's $20 app, and you still have the same exact sound.
From Working Family, it's the top of the hour. It's Boomer Tech Radio, back with more after the news on KCNR Shasta Redding. And hello once again. Boomer Tech Radio is live from the CES, Consumer Electronics Show, in beautiful Las Vegas at the Convention Center and a couple of other venues. I am Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
We are Analog Living in a Digital World. The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos, the tech news you can use. As always, brought to you by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. 5756 F West Side Road. Love to give love to our good friends over there at Advanced Automotive.
In fact, I got to go get our rig out of Hawk next week.
Yes, your GMC Yukon has been in their tender care for several days.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So, you know, we're doing things a little bit differently here from Las Vegas. How can you not be in Las Vegas and do things differently, right?
Yes.
But before the hour, we were talking to our guest.
By the way, hello, Nicholas Webb. Just joined the Facebook webcast. We are streaming. Bob Belongi is the handle on Facebook. And hello, Nick Webb.
Nick,
we wish you were here.
Yeah, and not only that, we ran into quite the innovator and told him about your books, and they were so excited to learn about that.
So welcome, and we actually are talking to the lady who has the solution for the crappy sound on our Facebook feed. which we're going to buy one of those.
You don't even need to buy one. I'm going to leave one with you.
Oh, bless.
And you won't have any more problems. It's too bad that we didn't hook it up before, you know, my interview started.
That's true.
Because, you know.
Next time.
The incredibly cool lady who just did that for us is Star Ackerman, and she's with IK Multimedia. And, Star, we held you over past the break to talk a little bit more about where people can find these products.
You can find IK Multimedia's music creation, broadcast, software, and hardware at ikmultimedia.com or any of your favorite consumer electronics retailers or music industry retailers like Guitar Center and Best Buy.
And for our guests, listeners, I should say, who are just joining the show, just a quick recap of what IK Media does.
IK Multimedia provides high quality, low cost solutions so that you can, for particularly at this show, we were talking about microphones so that you could plug them into your tablet or to your mobile phone and do and conduct interviews,
record your music,
et cetera. So what we talked about today was the iRig Mic HD, the iRig Mic Lav, and the iClip AV, which is the very first smartphone broadcast mount for your mobile device.
Bob's like a puppy over here looking for a biscuit.
Hey, Bob, how badly do you want this? Like, I mean, I could trade you for that computer. I'm just kidding. It's not that expensive. The iClip AV, it retails for $179. Yeah, and I am going to gift you guys this today.
Oh, my goodness.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
you guys
rock. So we will be talking about, and we're going to actually report on our experiences with these products because we're immediately integrating them into our show.
Absolutely.
We love this stuff because and I've sort of Brenda's always been the scientific type and kind of interested in the practical applications.
Yeah, the technology fascinates me.
But I love the creative process. But how you guys are empowering people to do things that it used to require a whole truck and a boatload of people to accomplish is just very, very remarkable. And so I hope that we will run across each other time to time here at CES, because this really is – we have encountered people that we have seen at previous CESs.
True.
And
but I'm the most fabulous.
So far.
Absolutely, you are. That's, and I'm not just saying that because of your very generous goodies that you left us with, which will be promptly put to work on Boomer Tech Radio.
Right. Well, we like to bring real things to our listeners at prices they can afford, because most of us are not made of money.
Yeah, we're not.
We were discussing your artist department just a moment ago, and we were talking about how students can afford this kind of technology. In the past, you know, you can't purchase a $600 microphone when you're 18 years old.
No.
Or 19 years old or 17 years old, but you can get a great quality microphone for $59, $69, or $49 even from IK Multimedia.
That's what's great.
It is great. It is awesome.
Thanks so much for coming
by. Thank you very much.
And
we look forward to seeing you at future CES shows as well.
I look forward to speaking with you guys again, and thank you so much for having IK Multimedia on the show.
It's been fun.
All righty. Star Ackerman from IK Multimedia. And Brenda, let's the buzzwords this year, AI, which has been extremely overhyped.
Star, thank you again.
Yeah,
off mic.
She's off mic now.
Appreciate it.
And we're disconnecting her from the innumerable wires that she got there. Am I going to be replaced by an artificial intelligence? I don't know. It might be an improvement.
Quite possibly. Star's pointing out that Bob's going to be replaced by the.
All right, Star, thank you. Awesome. Oh,
that's
you rock
great.
It. You
oh,
rock
that's
it.
Great.
Look at that. That's excellent.
Thanks so much. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
It's like Christmas.
It is like Christmas.
It's like Christmas. There you go.
There we go. Thank you. May I?
Oh,
thank you.
Thanks so much.
Oh, very good. But we.
Good stuff.
Every time we come to CES is a different buzz.
Yeah.
Remember 3D.
Yep.
And you don't see a lot of 3D out on the market. A lot of very hopeful engineers brought 3D to CES, but the content wasn't there. You had to have the specific glasses. Obviously, somebody didn't think that part of it through.
Well, you know, we've mentioned that before. But, you know, on Boomer Tech in recent months and weeks, we've been talking a lot about AI and robotics. I, quite frankly, expected to see a lot more robotics here. And there's just not here. I mean, there's a few Roombas and there's a few...
Yeah, we're not seeing Rosie.
No, and most of the robotics that I'm seeing are still in the toy category. And that's still true from 4 years ago when we were here.
Yeah.
There were a few things that were... There really isn't anything that innovative.
Yeah, nothing earth-shattering yet.
Hardware-wise. And so mostly what we're seeing are folks that are taking existing technologies and coming up with innovative ways
Correct.
To use them for a variety of things.
The better mousetrap.
Right. So as we've described earlier in the show, the place is humongous.
Mm-hmm.
And they have more than one campus where they have the show. And one of the things that we observed was over in Eureka Park, which is at the Sands Venetian mm-hmm. Venue here in Las Vegas, if you're familiar at all with Las Vegas. And... I saw a lot of things over there. In the Eureka Park area, these are where the innovators are. This is where you see some crowdfunding attempts. And mm-hmm. Indiegogo had a big booth there. And
as a matter of fact, Tiffin, the Steadicam people,
yes.
are launching a product with the help of a Kickstarter project,
right.
Which is pretty amazing because they do lots and lots of dollars.
You're going to have to check on that, by the way, to make sure they met their goal. They had this insanely good price on a camera mount held on a Steadicam.
A baby Steadicam.
But for the citizen journalists that we've just been talking about, this is the perfect kind of thing.
A stabilizer because God knows that I've had enough seasickness from some idiot who can't hold his camera still.
Right.
His smartphone still.
One of the things we see in Eureka Park is a division of the types of technologies or issues that these technologies will address. So there's the sleep people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole variety of sleep things.
Numbers been coming here for a couple
of
years.
Yeah. Sleep number beds.
Yeah.
And then there was a whole section on air quality in your house and mm-hmm. air filters in your house. I had not seen that kind of technology before. So a lot of home lifestyle type things or environmental improvements such as better air quality in your house or something like that. And so that was really interesting. So these people are taking existing technologies and they're applying it to things on a future program of Boomer Tech Radio, we're going to have an interview with a sort of like a Jarvis House type of control group of people that are taking things and they're, you know, you can have ABC thermostat and EFG light controller or something like that, and they kind of pull all of that together. And so there's some really interesting things going on like that.
Now, we have experienced a couple of augmented or virtual reality systems that so far we haven't really dove into because the full-on AR/VR booths have a crowd around them and you can't hope to get close.
Well, today we may actually be able to get in there. There's a lot less, a lot fewer people. You know, I think what happens, this isn't our supposition, right, is that for the first 2 days of the show, you have people wandering around looking at what's going on. And now starting every evening, but particularly last night into today is, you know, a lot of deals start getting made.
Mm-hmm,
a lot
mm-hmm.
of the work is, as our first guest, Jim Barry, from
CTA.
Yeah, from the Consumer Technology Association. Mentioned is that there's an awful lot of business that gets done here. In fact, yesterday we were in a booth and they said, oh, look for this in Target in 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. That's always one question we ask is this on the market now? And if not, when can we expect to actually see that?
And a significant number of items never actually make it out of this phase because nobody picks them up or they gauge the reaction from the press saying that, this isn't going to fly. By the way,
we went to one booth yesterday, which was really interesting. It's called Urban Armor Gear.
There it's right side up. Yeah. Urban Armor Gear.
Amazing products.
Great cases for your phones. And we don't go there saying, can you give us free stuff?
No, these people actually say. No, they were doing a cell phone cover exchange.
They were doing an exchange where you could turn in your old cover and get a new cover.
Right.
And the people from another company that we're going to talk about in a few minutes here on the show, WePower, I actually forgot to.
You have to look at your notes. I know there's so much we
Go see. Power.
But yeah, Go Power. But this Urban Armor Gear, they have some very lightweight, very tough covers in bright colors. And it's interesting to talk to these companies. iPower,
Go Power.
Go Power. Is that the booth with the colorful things where we had the pastries yesterday?
Yeah. That's, they do treat media really, really well.
Yeah,
here.
It's pretty interesting. Media does get treated. It's such a blessing. Yeah. Media is treated so well.
Well, I might as well talk about, we mentioned Urban Armor Gear in this particular, because, you know, your Samsung phone, if you buy one of these, you know, because you have
phone.
To buy your phone now, you're $600-$700 for a decent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these, and if you drop it and crack that glass, you are
deep
kimchi.
They have new colors coming out. There's kind of a toxic yellow and a bright orange. And people are realizing that if you have colors on your cases, you know, it's not just all black and silver down there in your bag. It allows you to get things. So I said, well, when are these out? Well, these are new colors and they're not going to be out until March or something like that. And you can go directly to their website and look at their stuff and buy it. So that's, you know, it's such an interesting thing here. Casio has some new watches out that are wearables. Yep. They're not on the market just yet.
Oh, yeah. Everybody had a Casio watch back in the day. I have one that still works. It's like 10-plus years old. But they are coming out with their answer to a smartwatch with the Casio name on it.
For the outdoors person.
And that looks really exciting. It won't be out until April. But it works as a standalone device, but it will also interact with your smartphone. But it has a built-in low-power GPS. It will do the fitness band track, but also has specific applications on it.
Right.
If you're skiing, snowboarding, I think it will give you fishing conditions.
Fishing person, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I think the big change from 4 years ago, and our first guest, Jim Berry from CTA, mentioned was the audio or the car.
Involvement of
automotive, cars. Right. Yeah. And so when we first came to CES, it was car audio. That was huge.
Yeah.
And that's still a huge element here, but now there's so much more. In fact, if you hear big boom booms in the background,
that's from the car
audio booth that's a few down from us.
I mean, this thing is registering on a Richter scale. So.
Yeah, it's crazy. But just the car audio, particularly the self-driving
stuff, automotive tech.
Right. There's a lot of the AIs, and the other thing is not just cars for everybody, but the people that are interested in doing vehicles and transportation for the physically limited, the elderly, self-driving type things.
Or in cities where there are too many cars and they're all crowded together, and the buses are taking up a lot of room, and you've got huge buses running with a dozen people on board, which is a huge waste of resources. How much more, and they're, you know, diesel powered, spewing all kinds of stuff. How much more efficient, and we've talked about this on the show.
Yeah.
How much more efficient is it to have sort of Johnny Cab without the psychotic AI? You've ever seen Total Recall.
Well, yeah, remember yesterday we were in that one booth where the company has now partnered with MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and turned over they have a prototype, and now they said to MIT, how can we make this really happen? And one of the conversations that we had there was that I liked the way the turn signal was. It started in the center of the front of this vehicle, which think about a
It looks like a baby stroller on steroids.
It's a cross between a baby stroller and a pedicab.
Yeah.
And it's three-wheeled, and the turn signal starts in the center of the front and then goes around the side of the vehicle. Yeah. Sort of like when you see the highway signs that motion you, the arrow, you know, is in motion to make you move over some lanes.
Did you also? Go ahead.
The thing about that is that they're going to make these things a reality, and they're coming. And this was designed to work in high traffic and could actually work in a bike lane.
It also has a mode color that if it is yes. under person control, the light is green. If it's under autonomous control, the light is red.
Yep.
Now, as long as the little light didn't start going back and forth like a Cylon, I'm not going to. But apparently, this thing can be dispatched and operate autonomously, as they showed in the demo, delivering coffee or pizza.
Yeah.
Or it can be dispatched to a person's home, and then they can climb aboard and give their destination, and if need be, operate manually the device, which has a very good. It has a pretty good range. It's extremely lightweight. It's actually a fabric over a frame, and it is designed to be environmentally protected. So
have to do a lot with weatherproofing. Another fun thing I saw more in the Eureka Park innovation area was a smart umbrella.
Yeah. Yeah, you interviewed those people.
I did.
I guess it lets you know when you walk away from it or something.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So,
how many of us have lost our umbrellas?
Who doesn't leave their umbrella behind, right? So basically what this thing has is a little, electronic package in the handle that's the size of a quarter and the diameter of a quarter. And it basically says, hey, don't forget me, where it is. And you can go back and get it. And it's a traditional umbrella in that it's, you can't fold it up into multiple pieces and stuff it in your bag. It is, the full length. So that kind of has some disadvantages that way. But it also takes the weather and posts that online if you want it to. And so there's all these weather reports from all over the place from these umbrellas. And I was just kind of cracking up because it's not terribly going to be terribly accurate from my professional point of view, but it still was a lot of fun and kind of cool.
Now, not far from where we are sitting is a company displaying cars that are actually created via a high-end 3D printing process.
They're so amazing.
Rather than take a chunk of steel and mill it and stamp it and cut away and get a big pile of scrap, this is 3D printed materials that are ultimately recyclable for the most part. There's a lot of implementation of carbon fiber, very high strength polymers. So they're very lightweight, which means they require less energy to move them around, but they absorb a lot of energy in an impact. So they are inherently safer, in the event of a mishap. So very interesting concept, and they look cool as hell.
Oh, yeah. You can do any kind of form factor and print anything, and it's actually cost effective because you can make any shape you want. And these cars were interesting. One of them looked a bit like a single-person Formula One car, like an inline.
Yeah.
Driver sits in the middle, and they're kind of skinny. There was another one that was a tandem one and that sort of thing. And maybe the future of cars. Who knows? These are concept car ideas that were here. And like Mr. Barry said at the beginning of last hour, went to a consumer electronics show and a car show broke out. But these ideas are out there. We also saw the one that the guy was basically making it out of plastic foam, if you want to look at it that way, a structured plastic sheet. Very light but extremely strong.
Right.
And was looking for funding to help develop the next stage of this thing.
Oh, yeah. This thing is like a big cushy. We talk about wrapping people in foam to protect them from all things. But this was actually a very lightweight composite honeycomb that would absorb a lot of energy in an impact but also be very fuel efficient. So rather than lots of people driving their own personal cars to work, and then you have to park the car and look at what that parking spaces in San Francisco or New York are just absolutely nuts.
Impossible
in the amount of money that has to be spent.
That too.
And what does the car do during the workday? The car just sits there. But buses are, you know, if you got a lot of people crowding into a bus, they run on certain schedules. If a bunch of people aren't there, then the bus runs half empty. How much more efficient is it to have a fleet of these vehicles that are ride response, scalability? When one of them develops a problem, it goes back to the garage. And another one rolls out, and they are in between, when they're not being used, they are being recharged off of a renewable energy grid. The amount less of carbon footprint and diesel exhaust going into the air would make a huge impact.
Well, I already,
and in urban areas, this is probably going to be a reality.
I'm wandering by one of these booths, there was a conversation going on about on-demand things, which is what we've talked about, where, you know, it's sort of like an AI Uber, if you want to look at it that way, where you just get on an application and say, hey, pick me up here, and a pod shows up.
Yeah.
And
some of them look very, very comfortable.
Oh, yeah. There was one little –
like I said, I'm still thinking about Johnny Cab, but the door opened and you got in.
Let's spend a few minutes talking about wireless charging.
The Wireless Charging Consortium, and I think we will save the interview for another broadcast.
Right. But while we're on automotive,
yes,
remember the wireless automotive thing.
Yeah, rather than having to plug the big monster, you know, and every electric car manufacturer has a different plug right now. So there's not a lot of standardization. But instead, if you have these charging hotspots in the maintenance garage.
Basically what you do is put your phone on the console in the
car. Yeah, exactly.
But with the app, what's interesting is that there's now connectivity in a lot of major vehicle manufacturers where that app, then it knows which driver is in the car and can automatically – the car manufacturers are doing this. They automatically connect that up and your seats change to your preference and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, when it comes to autonomous cars then, wow. You know, you can get pretty comfy in there.
So your phone can be very, and this brings me in a different direction, which we're going to talk about after the break. And remind me to talk about this. Your phone device is with proper security now. Your car keys,
amazing,
and your navigation system. It's Boomer Tech Radio. We are live from Las Vegas. We will be back after the break at the bottom of the hour here. The tech news you can use, more after this. And welcome back, Boomer Tech Radio, and we're having a little fun with our Facebook feed, Bob Belongie, B-E-L-O-N-G-I-E, but primarily we are here broadcasting live both on KCNR 1460 and Truth World Wide Web. And a big shout out to people who have joined us in the chat room.
And on Facebook.
Okay, now I may have something, somebody says that the feed from the online image is backwards. So I may have something messed up. And
this is all an experiment.
This
anyway.
Is an experiment. So we've been, and I see that now. I'm not going to mess with it while I'm trying to do the show live. So just, put your screen in front of, look at your screen in a mirror and we'll be perfectly fine.
No, backwards in that hopefully it's not facing the wall.
Well, if I would try to switch to the other camera, then it will be facing the wall. But,
you're like a 10-year-old with this technology. New microphone. This is something else.
This is very, very nice, and this was given to us to evaluate and comment on by IK Multimedia, along with a gadget to hold the phone and plug a high-quality microphone into it, because when you do stuff on your phone or on your pad, the audio usually suffers badly. So let's go back to talking about some of the things that we have encountered here at the 50th Consumer Electronics Show. Star Trek come to life.
Yeah, this thing.
We have talking computers.
But just keep in mind that we did two things here. We were very targeted about some of the places that we went and the things that we were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no way in the time frame that we're all here in the 4 days of the show, even though we can't do tomorrow,
right,
that you can see everything. It is physically impossible to see everything.
2.8 million square, 42 football fields, 45 football fields worth of exhibit space, and it gets crowded. You are bumping into people at the Intel exhibit yesterday.
Oh my gosh!
It was a mob scene.
Then there was the French celebrity that went through that choked up everything for a while.
No, I missed that one.
Oh yeah, over in Eureka Park, that was interesting.
So Eureka Park, let's talk a little bit about that. Some of the things that you encountered in Eureka Park. Now you saw the umbrella. The umbrella
that I was talking about.
There was. Company Aero Electronics, which is apparently very much into providing incubation space and assistance for these companies that are thinking of new ways to use existing products like the Raspberry Pi as a development platform.
Yeah, it wasn't just folks that have products there. It was folks that were providing services for innovators to assist them in developing their product and either bringing it to funding or to market or what have you. No, don't put me on there.
Oh, I just want to wave. There you go. There's
I really am here.
There's your moments of fame.
I definitely don't need to be on there. So in Eureka Park, that's a whole different set. They actually have universities that are there that are talking about their programs and some of the things that they're doing. So that's a whole different flavor than here in the Las Vegas Convention Center where we are today, where these are major manufacturers.
These are the big kahunas.
One of the must-sees here at LVCC, Las Vegas Convention Center, is the Samsung booth, which we haven't gotten to. We got close last night, but we ran out of steam.
Yeah.
And I know where it is.
The dogs were barking.
Yeah, exactly. I know where it is, and we're going to go see it today because it's always a very engineered display, meaning I don't know how many months or whatever it is, but it's always quite flashy. So I hope they don't disappoint this time. And whether you're a fan of Samsung or not, you have to go see the Samsung display.
And hopefully the whole
really
display
cool.
just burst into flames.
or come apart and start shooting projectiles all over the place.
They have to recall the display.
Like their washing machine, right?
Okay, now we had a great time talking with Star, who obviously broke into a very male-dominated field early in her career as a recording engineer.
Yes.
You talked to the lady from Sleep Sheep, who is a medical doctor.
We'll have an interview with her on a later edition of Boomer Tech.
Tell me about the young ladies that you spoke to at Eureka Park.
Well,
you guys were there for a long time jabbering away.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting because this happened to be at the Indiegogo booth, and a lot of the first person we talked to, I think we had an interview with him as well.
Yeah.
Was talking about how most of them are engineers and so on and so forth. And basically it was talk to an engineer and get a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, well, we were all over that.
So I asked, where are the ladies? Because face it, at this show, you do see a lot of women.
They're just booth babes. You do see booth babes, but.
Well, you see that, and they're usually hired local performers or something like that. But there still are not as many, by far, not as many women here as there are men. And so, being in a non-traditional field myself as a hard scientist, applied scientist, I was really curious about these young ladies' experiences as, female engineers in a traditionally male profession and so on. So we had quite a conversation about that.
I thought it was her purple hair.
Well, that was interesting too, not a lot of things have changed in a generation. Mm-hmm. In some ways they have, in some ways they haven't. So it was a great conversation. But the fact that they were there.
Yeah.
And that they are, still in a non-traditional field, but there were more than you would see in the past. And
now,
I think it was tremendous.
What degrees did these two have?
One was an electrical engineer.
So she was a double E.
Yeah, and the other was environmental engineer.
Okay.
Is how she came into things. So, So it was really interesting talking to them.
So you're seeing, and of course, let's talk about some of the products that have actually here. One of the innovation awards, and this is something that, you know, a few years ago simply would not have happened, was there was an innovation award for one of the first well-designed by women for women breast pumps.
Yep.
Because, these things are unwieldy. They're, you know, they're hard to clean, and if you can't use these things in public, this device, this breast pump, actually fits under the clothing, so you can discreetly pump while you're on your way to work or something.
On the go.
Yeah, you know? On the go. Also, these modules, these little. Like the size of one of those little shell campers that were here, and they are actually little rooms where a breastfeeding mom can go and take care of business.
Yeah,
with
you
the baby.
See these in airports now. These little pods where you can have privacy.
Yeah, these pods. Yeah. They're about the size of an R-pod camper.
Yeah, well, a skinny one.
A little skinny.
But it looked more like a size of a photo booth.
Yeah.
It's a little bit bigger in a photo booth.
But
now,
a little,
have curtains.
A little privacy space where mom can feed the kid.
Yeah.
Because a lot of women are having, you know, make the choice between do I have a career or do I spend all of my energy raising the child.
Women are playing a much more active role in any element of these things. So, and of course, that pod is part of the convention center. It's not just for CES. That's part of the facility here. Mm-hmm. I've only seen one kid, and what I thought was one kid was actually a mannequin.
Oh.
and that was in one of the power booths. But before we get to the power supply concept, because there's a lot of that here, now I forgot what I was going to talk about. I forgot. Yeah. I hate that. There's so much to talk about.
There is. It's there crazy. Is.
So
okay,
we might as well
to
talk
power
about that.
All these gadgets. Right. And we promised this at the top of the show, we'd talk about this. One of the hot products this year, and they've been out for a little while, but power banks, which are lithium ion batteries that you recharge while you've got the chance. And then during the day, as the power on your phone starts to run down on your phone or your pad or whatever, and if you're using it heavy, you don't make it through the day, you can, sit down and plug in and give it a little boost.
I'm using a Sony version right now to keep my tablet alive.
Right. The Wireless Power Consortium says that more and more in hotel rooms, as now there are standards for wireless charging. Apple, of course, off doing their own thing. Sorry, guys, but you're not going to see wireless charging for a while yet until Apple figures out what they want to try to cram down your throat, whether it works or not.
Doesn't matter. They need to start coming on board with this standard that a lot of others are adopting. You don't need another Apple thing to haul with you, but this is power wise this is definitely hauling batteries around is one thing. Since you brought up the wireless charging consortium, their theory is that eventually you're just going to see these things everywhere, and everybody's going to get used to setting their device on a charge. So you're in the kitchen, you're at work, you're standing in line somewhere.
You get in the car,
your
device is your wallet and your car keys.
And wireless charging is going to be so ubiquitous that your device is always charged, and you don't have to pack around portable things. But that's we still are going to have portable battery units for quite a while. So we went into the one booth with I want to say iPower.
No, it's
is that right? Who are they? MyPower.
GoPower.
GoPower? Okay, there was two. There's one.
Yeah, MyCharge. Well, it's GoPuck, which is one.
That's different.
And MyCharge, which is another.
MyCharge is
very
the one
similar
I'm
products.
MyCharge is an amazing company from the point of view that they think well ahead. They have thought well ahead about how this works. And one of the things that really impressed me about MyCharge is that the little battery units they have, a lot of them have bright colors on the outside, not only. Are they fashionable if you want something like that? But they're easy to find. And in fact, it was an interesting conversation. They gave us a tour of their booth.
Yeah.
And they had a prototype there that was this lovely emerald green, this bright emerald green. And she said, oh, this is a prototype. When it comes out, it's just going to be like boring silver here. And we said, no, if it was green, I'd buy it because you can find it.
Mm-hmm.
You look for that. In fact, earlier we were talking about getting new cell phone cases from Urban
Urban Armor Gear. Yeah. Great product line, by the way.
I have to look for my phone in a different way now because it's not the same color it used to be.
Yeah, yeah, you can find it easier.
I keep looking for this kind of salmon pink thing.
Well, we
and
love our
now
individuality.
It's not like that.
Individuality, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but smart design, things like that, that's how these companies, you know, make some progress in the industry is that they stand out from the competition with a smart design and quality of design. So we have a good interview that we'll be playing with that company, MyPower, that we'll play in a future episode of Boomer Dad.
Yep. That's the name of the show, by the way. Drones. We went to the drone rodeo.
Oh, that was fascinating. And the coolest thing I got out about that is that they're the world's very first drone port.
Drone port. Yeah, there.
It's near Boulder City.
Yeah, and it's a cooperation with the local government.
Yep,
there.
It is with the local government.
They want to be the training.
The origins of it are for education with high potential, low resource kids. And the person that really started this wanted to, you know, it's almost philanthropic in a way that they're thinking about doing this, but it's very serious. And they have plans. They've dug in the dirt. They're being funded.
Yeah.
They will have a training center. They will have they already have their runways laid out. They're just dirt right now.
Yeah.
Where they can land unmanned and unmanned drones, larger drones, and also small, like home-built type aircraft and that sort of thing. And we were there at the rodeo where, of course, instead of the Reno Air Races, you now have drone races, and it's pretty interesting watching. So we're going to have so much more to talk about on future episodes of Boomer Tech Radio about some of those experiences. But this aerodrome, they call it, out there in the middle of the desert outside of Boulder City, Nevada, which is kind of off to the southeast of Las Vegas on the way to Lake Mead. Just amazing stuff going on, and drones themselves are very interesting. I don't know much about them, but I certainly learned a lot there.
Well, how about the commercial applications, which was a lot of what we saw at the drone rodeo, and as well, when we were going through the buildings here to and fro, the big section set aside for drones, and a lot of them were the mapping drone, which looks like a big foam airplane rather than actually a quadcopter or something. So it can stay aloft for almost an hour and a half.
Almost, yep. That's
and
amazing.
It finds an altitude, it knows right where it is, and it can lay out a GIS map.
Well, you can program.
Graphic information, geographic information system.
You give it a box to work in, for instance. Yeah. You tell it what you want to do within certain GPS coordinates, and it'll do it. That's pretty cool.
So for urban planning, for disaster analysis, real-time information on wildfires, much cheaper than a manned aircraft, because if one of these goes down, you're out, you know, $1,000 or something. One of those big planes goes down, you've got a tragedy on your hands, especially not only for the crew, but wherever this thing happens to plow into the ground.
Well, drones are being used in so many applications now, quite obviously, and they have many different shapes and sizes. And realistically, if you want to get into a photography drone or something like that, $1,200 to $1,500 gets you a fairly nice unit.
Yeah.
Quite amazing. That's not outrageously expensive. I mean, it's pricey, but for education or business use, that's well within a reasonable budget.
But these hand-launched drones, you could see.
They kind of look like those styrofoam gliders you used to do.
But these things are relatively cheap. Easy to maintain. You can launch a bunch of these things very quickly. So if you have some kind of large-scale incident, you can put a fleet of these things in the air and get real-time intelligence to personnel on the ground about a developing situation.
Right.
For disaster relief, that really strikes me. Let's say a gigantic chemical spill, a train derails and is leaking chlorine gas or something.
You don't want people there.
Yeah, you can deploy these things and get your information without putting personnel at risk. So it's not just, you know, when we've got this thing going on where people say, drones, I don't want this thing hovering over and watching my teenage daughter. No. And here's a point I would like to make of historical reference. early on in automobile history, the state of New York required that a person walk in front of an automobile ringing a bell. Well, that sounds absolutely stupid to us, but the reason it was an untried, unknown, untrusted technology,
sure.
And they reacted to it as you would expect. Plus, I met, and it made the horses panic and things like that. Well, now we drive everywhere and we don't have to scoop horse poo. And the buggy whip manufacturers are out of business. So we have to think about how these things are evolving.
Oh,
can it be misused? Yeah.
It's so fascinating. You know, when we return in 3 years or so, which is what we commonly do with Consumer Electronics Show, it's going to be very interesting to see how things have evolved. You know, there's quite a different flavor to this one compared to the one we went to 4 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
That just shows you how quickly these things evolve. So there's no and all of the analysts, industry analysts that were here, is like there's no earth-shaking hardware coming out of this. And the trends are definitely application of things, particularly to the connected home.
Yeah.
There's a lot that way.
That you can speak she whose name should not be uttered on air.
The Amazon Echo in particular.
Yeah.
although, you know, I heard some criticism of that, that may not be the best platform, but it's hot right now and it's working
right
now.
Well, VHS was not the best video platform, but it outsold the Beta, which was a superior technical quality based on the price and availability.
Exactly.
VHS video quality sucked compared to Beta. But it was a third the price.
Look for Google Home probably to be a nice competitor
to
the Amazon Echo.
That's probably going to be the in-home assistant to watch.
And what makes
system integration.
Right. And what makes all of those work now is because
the ability of machine systems to understand ordinary human speech, like, okay, Google, we want to go to the Westgate Resort, without touching a button on my smartphone, it guided us right to it and took into account that there were traffic conditions. If you do get off course, it immediately reroutes you. And for people who have mobility issues and want to answer the door, get dinner started, get the vacuum cleaner out.
Turn
the lights up or
turn
down.
Turn the furnace on or off.
Yeah. Systems that monitor people with disabilities or who are elderly, it's going to empower folks to live more independent lifestyles. And again, can this stuff be hacked and can it cause a problem? Yes, but it's going to solve so many more problems than it creates, in my opinion. And I think that's what we have seen a lot of this technology that was untrusted at first. Once a lot of the bugs were worked out, has become just a part and parcel of our everyday lives.
We specifically asked a lot of these practitioners, what are you doing about security? And they all seem to take it very seriously that they're having to develop some ways to keep the user's information private or, you know, not be so hackable. You know, when we were kids, the big thing was you egged somebody's car or house, you put toilet paper in the tree. You know, you did pranks like that.
Mm-hmm.
These days, if you get hacked into, your house could be all kind of cuckoo with a connected house if there aren't security protocols in place to keep that from happening.
Yeah.
So that it's a practical kids these days, a practical joke is to, you know, rearrange that.
Yeah. Well, there's in the popular TV show, Mr. Robot, a group of hackers gets into a home automation system and just raises chaos.
Right.
But that's not a reason to hide from the stuff. You lock your car, you lock your front door, you lock down your system. If you have a router, a home internet system, and you are still running on this built-in passwords, shame on you if something happens to you.
Yeah, that is not the best way to do that. Speaking of,
if you don't know how to set up your security, pay somebody $50 to come do it.
Speaking of smart homes and things like that, remote control of things could be is real today. Let's say you want to change the pattern that your lights come off and on when you're on vacation, or somebody's going to stop by your house and they're there. Let's say your cousin's arrived to stay overnight and doesn't have a key to get in the front door. You can unlock the door remotely.
Yeah.
There's so many possibilities with all of this stuff. And I have very little doubt that we'll all very quickly adopt controlled
the stuff that works.
Voice-controlled homes or whatever, because it's just so convenient. And the one of the best things we saw with one of these control companies, though, is the easy button.
Yeah.
And right next there on the bedstand is the easy button. You hit that button once and
it initiates a sequence of events.
It initiates a sequence of events. You go tap, tap, it may issue another sequence of events. So example is that you go to bed, you hit it once, it says, okay, it locks the door, it turns the television off, it turns the lights off,
lowers
turns
the thermostat, blinds.
Lowers the blinds, which there are remote control blinds now that'll work with these apps. And and then when you wake up in the morning, you go tap, tap, and it turns on the coffee maker, turns up the furnace, all of these things.
Yeah.
So you don't have to run around and do this. It's like automatic. It's sort of like it knows your preferences. You can program those preferences.
We're getting closer to the Jetsons meet Jarvis.
Yeah, pretty much.
Jarvis, of course, from the Iron Man movies. We have hit 1 minute to the end of the show. This is probably the fastest show we've ever done.
Well, from our perspective.
From our point. Maybe it was really long and boring.
I think 2 hours is still 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours is still 2 hours of real time.
And there's so much more we could talk about.
We could talk about this stuff, and we will in future weeks. We have had a great time down here. We're looking forward to getting back to Reading, though. So we've got a 14-hour drive ahead of us tomorrow. Bob, Brenda's saying, wherever you go...
Have to stop for the dog.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other. Goodbye from Las Vegas. Good.